بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم زدنا علما وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا يا أرحم الراحمين. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وهو العلي العظيم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. طبتم وطاب سعيكم ومن مشاكم ولقد تبوتم من الجنة منزلا. You have done well, inshallah ta'ala, and you have prepared for yourselves a place in paradise. You have come to one of the gatherings of knowledge, and bi-idhnillah, this is the pathway to paradise. May Allah reward you all, inshallah. Inshallah, today will be the 33rd class in the fiqh of marriage, and we'll be continuing in the hadith that we began last time, inshallah ta'ala. I'll begin by reading the Arabic in the translation, and then talking about the commentary in the sharh by one of the ulama on this hadith, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. عن جابر رضي الله عنه قال كنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزاة فلما قدمنا المدينة ذهبنا لندخل فقال أمهلوا حتى تدخلوا ليلا يعني عشاء لكي تمشط الشاعثة وتستحد المغيبة. Hadith muttafaqun alayh. This hadith was narrated by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him. And he states that we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on an expedition. When we arrived at Al-Madinah and we were about to enter the city, he said, wait here so that you may enter by night, that is the evening, in order that the woman with the disheveled hair may comb it. The wife or the woman with disheveled hair may comb it, and the woman whose husband was away may shave her pubic hairs, getting ready for her husband. The hadith was agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. And we spoke last time about the vast nature of this hadith and how it shows the attention and the importance the Prophet ﷺ gave to this social aspect of the relations between husband and wife, and the kind relations between spouses, which is something he did not neglect, even though he had just returned from the battlefield, from the Battle of Tabuk. They came back, and he did not neglect this important aspect of social life, which is having the husband and the wife see each other in a good state. And in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not let one of you come to the door of his wife at night, or come and knock on the door of his wife in the middle of the night, exposing her or exposing them. This other narration, it also has a similar meaning. And the scholars, they give a story, or they mention a story that happened where the Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not come and surprise your family by night and you yatakhawwinahum, expose them. And two men, they heard this hadith, but when they came back from a journey, they were too eager. And they couldn't have patience, and they went at night, and they entered upon their families, and they found with their wives somebody else was in their bed. So they became distraught by that event. And another story they mentioned that took place, people who didn't follow these ahadith or the recommendations, sometimes the ulama, they mentioned stories of people who went against the sunnah and what happened. So they mentioned also another man. He came home by night, and he knocked softly on the door, and his wife, she lived with his parents. It was a husband and his wife, and his parents, they lived in the house. So he left, and he left his wife home with his two parents. Of course, the wife, she's going to be watching the clock, wondering, when is my husband coming home? The parents, are they going to be worried about the son? They're going to be busy with each other. They're going to comfort each other. But the wife, she's going to be the one anxious. So this man, he didn't follow the hadith, and he came at night secretly, and he knocked on the door, and the wife, she knew it was her husband. She let him in, and they went to sleep. In the morning, the mother of the house, the mother-in-law, she had the habit of coming and waking up her daughter for Fajr, for morning prayer. So she came in the morning time. She opened the door and she saw a man with her daughter-in-law. So So she was surprised. She said, "What is going on? Why is this man with my daughter-in-law?" So she didn't say a word. She went upstairs and she told her husband, "Just go and see who's in the bed of your son." So the husband, of course, he became very much enraged. He didn't say a word. He didn't make any signal with his hands, but he got his sword. And he went down and he went into the room and he let the sword do the talking. So the wife, she screamed. She said, "What are you doing?" They said, "What is wrong? There's this man with you in this bed." They said, "That is your son. That is your son. He came at night and look what you did to your own son." So this is a narration you hear from some of the shuyukh about somebody he didn't follow the sunnah, and you see the bad outcome that took place. There's another, many examples like this. There's the one man who he was eating with his left hand, and he didn't want to follow the sunnah of eating with the right hand. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Eat with your right." He said, "I am not able to do it." He didn't try, he didn't apologize, he didn't make any effort, and he didn't say, "I'll try to do it," but he refused to do it. He said, "I am not able." And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Lista ta'ta," may you not be able to do it. And it is said for the rest of his life he couldn't use his right hand to lift the food as a punishment for going against the sunnah. He did it out of arrogance. He didn't do it out of really not being able to, but he did it out of arrogance. So again, we see the result of, or some of the shuyukh, they mention how when people go against the sunnah or they do other than the sunnah, bad things happen. And this is one of the benefits of the hadith. It's a benefit for us to follow that. Also, we see from this hadith an important lesson, which is that if one wakes up from his sleep, there's another hadith again. There was a man, we studied the hadith of that said that when you wake up in the morning, after sleeping at night, what should one do in the morning? Wash their hands. Because one of you does not know where your hands spent the night. So one man, he heard this hadith, and he said, "How can I not know where my hand goes at night?" So after he refused to follow this hadith, he woke up in the morning, he found his hand in a terrible place. So again, anyways, the point is that these hadith, they show that they're recommendations from the Prophet ﷺ for our own benefit. Whoever does not follow them, then only he puts himself in the loss. Also, what we see from this is the Prophet ﷺ's great concern. This is in which chapter? This is in the chapter of good relations between spouses. This hadith, it's in the chapter of having good relations between spouses. So the Prophet ﷺ, he is very concerned, and he takes into consideration things that will bring love between the husband and the wife, and he's very concerned about matters that will put revulsion or repulsion between the husband and the wife. He's very much concerned about that. Even if it's unintentional, a husband seeing his wife in that state, it could cause a revulsion between the husband and the wife. Also, we see from this hadith that it says from the good conduct of a man towards his wife is to not come at night, because that will yatakhawwin. It will expose, or it will cause her to do khiyana, which means it will cause her to betray her husband. Meaning if he comes at night and he sees her in this way, then it will be like she is doing some type of khiyana to him, betraying him in some way. And what that indicates is that normally the wife would not do that. And again, we derive another lesson from this hadith, which is showing that the wife, the good righteous wife in Islam, how does she deal with her husband? She prepares herself. She makes him pleased when he sees her. Right? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, the righteous woman is the one, if the husband looks at her, she pleases him. And if he commands her, she obeys him. And if he is away, she guards him. How does she guard her husband when he's away? Can anybody tell me? How does the wife guard her husband when he's away, when he's traveling? He took his money with him.
Not anybody in his bed.
Ahsant. She guards herself. By a woman guarding herself, she's guarding her husband. She doesn't let anybody come to his house, to his bed, to anybody he doesn't like. So the woman, the righteous woman, the chaste woman, she guards her body, of course, from being unchaste, and that's how she guards her husband. But also we see in this, what this hadith is showing us, is that if the woman is surprised at night, and she is seen in a way that she's not prepared for her husband, that means that if she weren't surprised, she would be prepared for her husband. And it's showing you how a righteous wife would be, and how a man should choose a wife. A wife that will try to obey her husband and please him when he looks at her. And so this is the criterion in Islam for choosing a good wife. Choosing one who is righteous. One who will try to obey her husband and please him when he looks at her. Allah, He says in the Quran, the ayah that we read earlier, about the righteous woman, صَانِحَاتٌ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهُ. The righteous woman, she's صَانِحَة, she's righteous, she does good deeds. قَانِتَات, that means obedient, subservient to Allah and her husband. And حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ, that means she guards in the privacy, and she guards her modesty, her chastity. حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهُ, which Allah has protected her from. So the wife, choosing the wife in Islam, is she should be chosen because of her righteousness. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَظْفَرْ ذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكْ. Choose or seize. Dhufr in Arabic, literally, what does dhufr mean? Brothers can tell us. Adhafir? It means the nails. So why does the Prophet ﷺ say, فَظْفَرْ, use your nails, فَظْفَرْ ذَاتِ الدِّينِ. They say dhufr in Arabic is finding something rare. When you have a little piece of gold and a lot of sand, you have to use your nails to get that gold, right? You cannot just pick it up. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, فَظْفَرْ ذَاتِ الدِّينِ, seize the righteous woman. Use your nails because she's so rare. You won't find her easily. تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكْ, may your hand be rubbed in dust. It's an Arabic expression meaning, may you be successful. May you be successful. So this is the way to find a righteous woman. Also, the righteous woman, she guards her chastity, as we spoke about earlier. Umar radiallahu anhu, he has an interesting experience. He used to walk, of course, in the streets as Khalifa, and once he was passing by a house and he heard a woman crying or screaming out, and she was saying, this night is so long and there is no beloved by my side to play with. By Allah, if it were not for the fear of Allah and shyness to hold me back, otherwise I would break this bed. You see how the woman, she was in this need of her husband. She said, I have nobody here to be with me, and if it wasn't for the fear of Allah and my own shyness, I would not be able to control herself. So this woman, she had fear of Allah. She had shyness. And shyness is not a quality that you find in every woman. Shyness is a quality only found in a righteous woman, and a woman who comes from a noble family, a good family. A family that is open to the, what you would say, they're very loose with their women. The women do not have that quality of shyness. So a righteous husband, he should look for the quality of righteousness and shyness. And this will be a good thing to find in his wife. Even Hind, you heard of Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan. When the Prophet ﷺ came to Mecca, Hind, she was giving the allegiance to the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ said, give me allegiance that you will not commit zina. And Hind, she said, do free women make zina? She was shocked by that. Because Hind, even though she was a non-Muslim most of her life, but she came from the Quraysh, a noble family, a noble lineage, she said, do free women make zina? She couldn't believe it. She said she thought that was only for slave women. And so you see the chastity that even Hind had. Alhamdulillah, she accepted Islam, but she said, you're making oath to me to not make zina. She couldn't even believe that a free woman would actually do zina. So the good family that she came from was what prevented her from doing the zina. Also, the laxity that you find in some women, this humiliation, this is a lack of value for her modesty. A woman, she would never give herself to a man without the right haqq, a good woman. And she wouldn't be lax with herself. She might give wealth away, she might give her clothing away, but herself, her body, this chastity is the most valuable thing to a righteous woman. She'll never give it up without its due haqq. Okay, so what concerns us in this hadith is that the husband should not surprise his wife by night because he might expose her shortcomings. He might expose her in a state where she's disheveled, she didn't prepare herself, and this is exposing the faults of the wife. And this is something that a husband should not do. A husband also, he should not spy on his wife, because again, he's looking for her shortcomings and exposing them, and this will cause himself to become jealous, and it will ruin his life and his wife's life. He'll always see everything in a negative way. He'll find the curtain open. Why is the curtain open? Who are you looking at? He will always be suspicious, and it will cause disharmony between the husband and the wife. Imam Bukhari, he completes this hadith, and he gives a different, adds one line to it. He says, when one of you have been away from the home for a long time, he must not come to his family during the night. Here, Imam Bukhari, he mentions for a long time. For a long time. The time of the journey. He mentions a long time. Not if it's a close journey, but it means the time period. It doesn't matter the distance, 30 kilometers to Dallas, but what matters is the time. If somebody's away for a long time, then he must not come at night. Why is the time important? Because that is when the hair might become disheveled, the hair might grow on the body. But if it's just one day and he comes back the next day, even if he took a plane and came back, it wouldn't be enough time for his wife to become in an unbecoming state. So it's not the distance, but it's the time period that a husband is away. He must let her know if he was away for a long time. Anas radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet ﷺ, he never came to his family at night, and it was from his habit, if he came home, he would always go to the masjid first and pray two rak'ahs. And the scholars, they say, and he would also send a messenger. He would send somebody forward to run ahead of him and let his family know that he's coming back. And this is from his good akhlaq, to let his wife know. And even going to the masjid is a central place. And usually there's children around playing. And if the Prophet ﷺ came home to the masjid, everybody would know. Or even if a person comes to the masjid first, it's from the sunnah not to go straight home, but to go to the masjid first, to pray in the masjid, and then usually that's a type of announcement that I'm back, I came back from my journey, and the word will get back to his family and they can prepare for that. The Prophet ﷺ, he lived next door to the masjid, so when he came home, his family knew that he was home and they could prepare for him returning back from his journey. And so the sunnah is when we return from a journey, if as long as we're clean and a good appearance, to go and pray two rak'ahs in the masjid. And in the Muwatta it also says to say salam on the Prophet ﷺ when coming back from a journey. Finally, the circumstances that come into play today. Our brother Ustaz Hassan, he mentioned last time that today we have mobile phones, and say even if somebody went for Hajj and he finished his Hajj and then he's about to leave, he went to Jeddah, he's going to the airport, it would be sufficient for him to make a phone call or send an email to his wife and say, I'm back, I finished the Hajj, I'm coming back on this date. That is sufficient for him. He can go home at any time, day or night, as long as he does that. Because the wife, she will be ready for her husband coming back. She will have had the time to prepare herself and to clean herself so that when her husband comes back, she will be in that state. So in summary, this hadith, it shows us the vast nature of the sunnah, how the sunnah considers the Prophet ﷺ, he gave importance to the marital bond, the bond in marriage in these circumstances. So let us go together inshallah to the next hadith, which we'll finish inshallah today. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن شر الناس منزلة عند الله يوم القيامة الرجل يفضي إلى امرأته وتفضي إليه ثم ينشر سرها أخرجه مسلم. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, the noble Sahabi, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the worst person in the sight of Allah on the Day of Judgment is the man who had relations with his wife, and she had relations with him, and then he spreads the secret of their relation. He spreads her secrets after that. Reported by Muslim. This hadith, it brings us to a new subject. We spoke about in the previous hadith how it is not good relations to come in the night to one's wife. That hadith is finished. This hadith, the important thing it talks about is covering the secrets of the spouses. Covering up the faults and the shortcomings in one's wife and vice versa. Allah, He says, Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahun. Does everybody know what libas means? Libas means covering, clothing. The clothing, what does it do? It covers a person, it covers their nakedness, it covers their faults. Somebody had an injury or a deficiency on their body, the clothing, it covers it up. So the wife, she is a libas for her husband. She covers up his faults. She protects his faults. And likewise, the husband, he covers up the faults and the secrets of the wife. So this hadith, what it reminds us of is that if the husband, he sees something in his wife, even if he dislikes it, he should not expose it to other people. And vice versa, if the wife, she sees something in her husband that she doesn't like, then she should not expose that to the people. She should not tell people about that. And once there was a man, he got married to a woman, and she had certain faults in herself. And so he was going to divorce her. And she knew that if he divorced her, he might expose her faults to other people. And so she told him, if you expose my faults, I'll expose your faults. And so when he heard that, he kept quiet and he said, okay, I'll keep your secrets as long as you keep mine. Everybody has faults. Right? So from the good behavior or the good akhlaq of Islam, the husband, he covers up the faults of his wife. He doesn't tell anybody about it. And likewise, the wife, she covers up the faults of her husband, and she does not expose that to anybody else. And this is something, unfortunately, that happens a lot in many societies, where the men or the women will speak about it to each other. The women will tell their female friends, the men will tell their friends. And in fact, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he went to the men, and he said, do any of you go to his wife at night, and then in the morning go and speak about what he did with his wife? So everybody kept quiet. They were too shy to say anything. So then he went to the women, and he said to the women, do any of you have relations with your husband at night, and then go and tell the women, some women in the morning, about what happened? The women, they all felt shy also. They didn't say anything. So after a while, one girl stood up from the back. She said, Ya Rasulullah, by Allah, these women, they do it and the men do it too. And the Prophet ﷺ, he knew that, of course, he gave an analogy that should be a good reminder for all of us. He said, do you know what the example of somebody who does that is? He said the example of that is like a male shaitan, he met a female shaitan in the street and they fulfilled the act in the public. He said this is the example of somebody who exposes what took place between their spouse at night to other people. It's like one male shaitan, he met a female shaitan in the street and they did the act in public. This is what he said, the example of somebody who exposes the secrets of his wife, or the wife who exposes the secrets of the husband. This is what they are like. So in Islam, people in some countries even, that this actually takes place, where people do these acts in public. Astaghfirullah, unfortunately, in many societies, this fitna has taken place where people do this in parks, in public places. It's taking place, unfortunately. But the sound nature, the Islam, it forbids it, and even the human fitrah, if it hasn't been corrupted, the woman by nature, she would never allow this, to expose herself in the public. But because the fitrah has become corrupt, then the shyness has been gone. And now we see, unfortunately, how people, they expose their secrets in front of one another. And so here we ask that the man and the woman, they see each other, they see what nobody else sees from each other. Even the husband and the wife, they see from each other what they don't even normally see at other times, and they hear things, etc. So this special or this private relationship, it should never be exposed to anybody else. And of course, the woman, she has a natural desire for her husband, and she fulfills that with the relationship, and vice versa. Now, the question is, what is it that must be secret between the husband and the wife? The scholars, they say that simply speaking about a question about somebody had a relation with his wife and speaking about it, that is not forbidden, that is not haram. Somebody came to the Prophet ﷺ and he asked, he said, I had relations with my wife, but no water came out. Do I have to make ghusl? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, I have relations with her, his own wife, Aisha, and the same thing happens, and we do make ghusl. So he was teaching him the ruling that in Islam, the ghusl is required if the relations take place. Even if the water, the full relation doesn't take place, the water doesn't come out, but just the fact that the two had relations, sexual relations, they have to make ghusl. So speaking about that, is that exposing the secrets of the wife? That's what every married couple does. It's not exposing the secrets of the wife. But saying how did one have relations, what took place, the describing the sound or the position and this type of thing, that is exposing the secrets. So that is what is completely forbidden in Islam. And so we should stay, guard that of our spouses, inshaAllah ta'ala. So this will suffice, inshaAllah, for this hadith, inshaAllah ta'ala. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. وآلي وصحبه وسلم وربنا تقبل منا وجزاكم الله خيرا. And you're welcome, if anybody would like to add question or comment, you're welcome to ask, inshallah ta'ala. If the sisters have any questions, you can write it on a paper and just give it to one of the kids, inshallah. I'll be happy to answer questions, inshallah ta'ala.
Exposing the faults of the husband or the wife, does it extend even after divorce? Because it's very common once people get divorced, then everything is exposed.
No.
So what is the problem here?
Wallah, the true good character of a Muslim is that they refrain from exposing or exaggerating. See, usually in when it comes to qada in front of a judge, the wife will exaggerate the faults of the husband, and the husband will exaggerate the faults of the wife. So from the truthfulness of the tongue of a Muslim is that he will not exaggerate even in that circumstance, even those extreme circumstances. The Muslim should only speak the truth. So of course, a woman, even if she's divorced, she's still our sister in Islam. And that husband, if he's divorced, he's still the brother in Islam. So the woman and the man, they should refrain from making ghibah about one another and speaking ill of each other and harming their honor. And as the woman said in this example, she told her husband who's divorcing her, if you expose my faults, I'm going to expose all of your faults. So the best thing is to make the agreement that we separated ways. Allah didn't allow us to continue together, but you know, they should separate in a good way. فَأَمْسِكُهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفِ أَوْ سَرِّحُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفِ. Keep, if you divorce the woman, you keep her in goodness, or you let her go in goodness, but not to have the hatred towards one another. Inshallah. Let me just take the brother's question. Go ahead,
Okay. What defines faults? I mean, are we talking about like intimate faults or just everyday life faults that we see?
Yes. This is a good question. Of course, what is completely forbidden is the intimate things that a husband sees from his wife and vice versa. That is completely forbidden. But actually, if you take the general meaning of hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahun, this is from the good relations of a husband to his wife and vice versa. That they should not tell, the wife shouldn't go and complain to her mother, my husband did this, he's like this, and vice versa. The husband shouldn't complain about his wife. This is from the good adab between the husband and the wife. The only exception, of course, is like if the husband has to go to or the wife goes to a judge, she says the husband doesn't spend on me, he doesn't provide a house for me. That's not riba. She has to do that in order to get her haq. But other than that, they should try their best not to to expose each other's shortcomings in front of others. This will increase the love between them, inshallah ta'ala. Did you have a follow-up for the first question? Ayyuhu, jazakallahu khair. Any other questions, Brother Sayyid? Inshallah, jazakallahu khairan. If there's no questions, inshallah, we'll finish here. May Allah accept from all of you and put love between us and our spouses. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين وجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم اللهم الف بين قلوب المسلمين بالكتاب والسنه اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التاويل وافتح علينا فتوح العارفين بك يا ارحم الراحمين اللهم بارك لنا في ذريتنا وفي ازواجنا وزوجاتنا يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم رد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم نسألك الجنة الفردوس اللهم نسألك صحبة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تقبل منا واغفر لنا وتوب علينا يا رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين وجزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله